We'll just go to the Lord one more time in prayer for today's service. That Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the moving of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for praise and worship, that we have a place, Lord, that we can worship you freely. And I ask, Lord, that now you free my lips to speak the word clearly, Lord, that you have laid upon my heart, that I may be a vessel of honor for your use. All this we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And this morning, you know that I don't preach as long as Jeff, but I do still have a word to share with you. And it's called Feeling Inadequate, You Have a Purpose. And that's where I've been, that's where I've been living. And I looked up the definition of inadequate, and it says, lacking the quality or quantity required. Insufficient for a purpose. And that's where I was living a few weeks ago, and that's also where the Lord set me free from. So I want to share that testimony with you guys. And the founding scripture is Matthew 14, starting in verse 13, and it's the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And it says, as soon as Jesus heard the news, he went off by himself, the news that John the Baptist had been beheaded. As soon as Jesus heard the news, he went off by himself in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed by land from many villages. A vast crowd was there as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place and it's getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus replied, that isn't necessary. You feed them. Impossible, they exclaimed. We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Bring them here, he said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up towards heaven and asked God's blessing on that food. Breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave some of the bread and fish to each disciple, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and they picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men had eaten from those 5 loaves, in addition to all the women and children. And there's some parallels to where I was and where I am in that story. And, you know, those feelings of inadequacy started with this message. So when I had heard rumblings that pastor was going to be out, you know, the Holy Spirit kind of tugged on my heart a little bit and was like, great, tell pastor that you got it covered. He doesn't have to worry about it. You can fill into the pulpit. But I said... Like, I was dreading, you know, Jeff asking me to fill in, you know, and I was hesitant to share that with him. And so that was my response. The Lord put something on my heart to do. My response, like the apostles, was impossible. I said, don't you know who I am? Like, I am the girl that didn't have a Bible at my first Bible study. I didn't know how to look up the books of the Bible. I didn't know where they were. I didn't know how to look something up by chapter and verse. And, you know, isn't it just like the enemy of our souls to remind us who we were when the Lord asks us to step out in faith and do something that he can equip us for? But God. And it's in our weakness, in my weakness, that he is made strong. And that's 2 Corinthians 12:9. And it turns out that I'm actually not qualified to teach. I'm not qualified to stand up here in this pulpit, but Christ in me is. Amen?
Amen.
And when we surrender to him, to his plans, what he is working through our lives, then we can start changing lives. Because here's the other piece of that is I was measuring my success, the success of my walk in the Lord, by mountaintops and Red Sea moments. It was like, if I'm not part in the Red Sea, then I must be doing something wrong. Leave it to me. My husband can tell you I have a strong imagination. So when my perspective changed when I opened up to what the Lord had to say through His Word, but also the way that this body was encouraging me. So this sermon fell out of me. I'm only accessing my phone so I can read you this email, because this sermon fell out of me in an email response to my sister during the work week. So it says, "Good morning. Thank you for the beautiful words. They are life." And that's what the Word of God is. That's what this church body is when we edify one another. I said, "I always want to hear yours and the Lord's 2 cents, or 5 cents, or a dollar. I certainly have a better understanding of perspective, but admittedly don't really see myself as a part of the ministry." And, right, that exactly. Like, I was so introverted that, and looking for those Red Sea moments, that I was discounting what I was doing here. That I was singing every week. I was sharing, as Marcos did this morning, that I was sharing with you, before the offering and tithes, and I was belittling that in my own eyes, even though it was a way that I was being used in the Lord. And I had to be reminded of that. And I say, reflecting on the last 10 days or so, I felt more like a skin tag on the body of Christ rather than an active participant. And again, that's where the enemy wants us to be, thinking that I am I laughed out loud when I wrote that, but it was the truth. I just felt like this little, like, Klingon, that I wasn't actively participating in the work and the movement that is this church and this church body. Not when I'm sharing at church or singing, but I was feeling restless even at home, but specifically at work. And if my boss is watching, earmuffs. I said, it was just sucking the life out of me, and I was banging my head against the wall all week, not seeing any progress. In fact, I was losing deals when I'm already behind, wondering, why am I sitting in this chair 8 to 12 hours a day? Okay? I couldn't see through my own, fill in the blank with whatever you want. I couldn't see through my own pity party, despair, frustration, general weariness that we carry with us day to day. My cardinal reasoning, how could stressing myself out over this job possibly be advancing the kingdom of God? I'm selling mortgages. This is stupid. I said that to the Lord in my heart. I'm like, this is stupid. Why am I here? I don't know what I'm doing here. How am I changing lives? Like, I'm talking about numbers, you name it. I went like right down the rabbit hole. Okay? And I said, my eye is twitching just thinking about it. Parentheses, it's my new thing. So that's something. Stress manifests itself physically in my body. So when I started feeling the pressure and stress at work, that was a new thing, is my eye started twitching. For like 2 weeks, my left eye was twitching every other second, and it was insane. You want to just pluck it out of your eye socket. So I shared that. Okay, my eyes twitching, stressed at work. But thankfully, that same perspective the Lord has granted over the years in my life is much quicker to highlight these budding footholds. And I teeter on if it's right or wrong, But when I'm in that place of taking what I'll call spiritual inventory, I am introverted, right? So that's, so like Pastor tells us to check ourselves, to check your heart, like where are you at? I call that spiritual inventory. And I retreat inwards to see what's really going on, honestly, without the influence of any third party, okay? Because we all have that person in our life that we can go to that's going to tell us what we want to hear, or maybe justify the path that we want rather than maybe the one that the Lord is nudging us to. So like that's how I protect myself from leaning into that, is I just keep it all inside and try to figure it out myself. And I see it's when I'm in that stage, though, that I'm absolutely going through the motions. Like, I need to put my day on autopilot. So those things that I have under control, I'm going to put my day on autopilot until I figure out this thing over here of what's going on, and then I can articulate it. But, like, newsflash, that's actually way more exhausting when you do it that way. And the Lord ministered to me yesterday with Isaiah 60, and I was free of that thinking. The Lord, in all caps, the Lord is moving. You're exactly right, Brother Marcos, when you shared this morning. The Lord is moving. You can see it in the world around us. You can see it in our church body. You see it in our individual lives. You see it because of the attack that we're under. That alone is evidence that we are moving in the right direction and time is growing short. Yeah. And I said, the Lord is moving. You're exactly right. And I want to be a part of it. Anyway, he sees fit, and I just need to keep myself and my opinions out of the way. I just, then skipping down to the bottom, I'm measuring success by moving mountains. Then the Lord reminded me in the shower this morning of the miracle of feeding the 5,000. And I love this. That was possible when a boy offered Jesus his lunch. That's it. I just have to give the Lord my ratty, crinkled brown paper bag that has a smushed peanut butter and jelly sandwich in there and a juice box that's probably warm by now. And he can work miracles great and small through that. Who am I to say what's in that bag? Jesus can make something out of nothing. And that's where this passage then, like if we revisit Matthew 14, it jumped out at me again. So after, very often the Lord talks to me in the shower because it's the only time I'm really alone. So it's like alone time with the Lord. And it's like there's a couple parallels there of you know, the isolation and telling the Lord that something is impossible that he's asking me to do, and inserting my own opinions and suggestions. I'm really good at putting things in the Lord's suggestion box on ways that he can solve my problems or create an out for me, like great ways that he can put an end to something. And then, like, the extraordinary piece of when I revisited this after he had showed it to me was that, like, if you think of where Jesus was, he was feeling down and wanted that alone time with the Lord. He went in the boat to get away from the crowds. The crowds followed him anyway, and it says that he stepped out of that boat. He saw the crowds and had compassion on them, and he started healing them. Like, when I'm focused on myself, when we're focused on ourselves and on our own problems and our own world, that's what the enemy wants, is for us to have this tunnel vision on all the things that are going wrong right in front of our faces. But what the Lord is calling us to do is to step out of that, because he can still use us when we're in that phase of our life or our day. And we are to still be used by him in those times. And so just to really drive the point home, The Lord made this even more clear in the next sermon that I listened to. So that's like, I always have something on at the house, whether it's music or a sermon or a podcast or whatever. So the next sermon that I listened to was titled, "You Will Fulfill Your Calling." So I was like, okay, all right, thank you, Lord. What do you got for me? I am listening loud and clear. So when we think of being used of God, or at least where I was at, we can glamorize that, which is dangerous. And with like we have daydreams of slaying actual giants or parting seas, as I mentioned, and like we want to be sought and known for our faith and for our walk. And he then, this pastor, broke down the example of Mary. So ultimately, God called Mary to be a mom. That in itself is very normal. It's very natural. It's unremarkable. And not to belittle motherhood in any way, but particularly in that day and age, you married very young, 14, 15 years old, and you then started a family. That's what you did. You started a family to have an heir, to carry on the family line and the family name. So calling Mary to be a mother in itself didn't feel very remarkable. But God, through Mary's obedience and faith, by just being a mom, by her saying, "Yes, Lord," that brought about the salvation of humanity. Okay? It brought forth Jesus the Christ, who defeated death. And to our human perspective, things sometimes seem unremarkable. What we're going through in our daily lives, your routine at work, at home, in your community, within your own family. But really, like our life is an atmosphere for the miraculous. God can use those little day-to-day moments for Red Sea moments. Like, Jenny didn't know when she sent me that email that it was going to confirm and verify everything that the Lord just put on my heart with that message. And I shot that email right back, just ticking things off the list that, because the Lord was already doing a work in me, clearly in her and Pastor, that was all just verified through the Holy Spirit. That is a miracle. Like, the Spirit of the living God, when it lives in your heart, communes with you. And so the next time the enemy tells you that you are insufficient, or that there's no purpose to your day, or there's no purpose to what you're doing, there's no such thing as a secular job when you've got the Holy Spirit living in your heart and your light is shining for the world to see. There's no such thing as little callings and big callings. So you can just tell the enemy to flush it. And those that were under senior Pastor Jeff, you're familiar with that term. You tell the enemy to flush it. So I want to finish with Isaiah 60, because it is one of my favorite passages, but it all, because I'm a morning person, I'm usually up for the sunrise. So it's like, I especially appreciate it. But again, it's taking something so small. This Isaiah 60 is telling you to get up and let your light shine. Okay? "Arise, Jerusalem, let your light shine for all the nations to see. For the glory of the Lord is shining upon you. Darkness as black as night will cover all the nations of the earth, but the glory of the Lord will shine over you." That's it. Just get up. Let your light shine. Let the Lord have control over your life. It's when we judge what he's telling us to do, or we judge the path he's laid out for us, or we tell him that we might have a better idea, that's when we start messing things up. And one more encouraging word that I want to share with you is actually, I'm glad you're here, Molly, because it's another excerpt from this book that just made me like stop and cry in bed, actually. But I'm a crier, which you guys know, so that's nothing new. But it's quoting Isaiah 66:22, and it says, "For as the new heavens and new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain." These comforting words should be viewed with joy. Sometimes a person will ask, "What will we do in heaven? Sitting around singing forever sounds boring." And some of you in this church can relate to that. I won't name any names. That maybe might think singing in church, or I mean in heaven, might be lame. But, however, this is an inaccurate perspective. Instead of boredom, and now I want you to put yourself into this statement. Take the closest moment you've ever experienced with the Lord. That's when he ministered to you in his word, a vision, a dream, a word of knowledge from somebody else, sometime that he came to you so intimately that you were in communion with him like you had never experienced before. Now multiply it by 1 billion and extend that moment with no ending. Even this exaggerated measure will not compare with the amazing future every moment will provide for us in our eternal presence with our Savior. Amen. 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 Until then, press on to that high calling, the mark of Christ Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, fulfilling his purpose for our lives, because we all have one, and it's in him. Amen, church?
Amen.
Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this time. Thank you for your work in our lives. For vulnerable hearts, Lord, it's in our vulnerabilities that we are made human and relatable to one another, and where you are lifted up and exalted because we are merely human, Lord. We thank you for this time we've had together. Bless the word that went forth, that it may accomplish your task, that it doesn't return void, and the remainder of our week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.